Thank Bill for reading the scripture again. I got him a nice short one today.
And no hard words.
No hard words.
I'll stumble anyway. Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. And happy Father's Day to all you fathers. Today's scripture, Solomon is enjoining the sons to take instruction from their parents, or their father. But there are some places where as I was preparing for this, that it changes the sons to children, and the fathers to fathers and mothers. So this also puts an obligation on us parents, our fathers, us adults in this church, that we should always act in a way that provides wisdom to our children so that they can grow up in knowing the Lord. And then I ask you to just change perspective just a little bit and change the sons to children of God. And I think this scripture reminds us that we should all, as children of God, go through our Father in heaven and seek wisdom there. So please listen to your own personal message as I read Proverbs 4, 1 through 4. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I, too, was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me and he said to me, take hold of my words with all of your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. I bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you. And something I forgot to mention in prayer, just to let you know, for last week, communicants class, we took in two new members, Rebecca and Cassie. So when you see them, congratulate them. And so we're excited about that. Now, I have a Father's Day sermon this morning, especially for this. So scripture is kind of a kickoff point today. Because this is Father's Day weekend when dads are complimented, if they're not all year, today at least, where they're pampered for at least an hour or two, and where they're given gifts. Did anybody get a tie or a pair of socks today? Ties still popular. Not as many men wear them today as they used to. One little boy had an interesting description of Father's Day. He said, Father's Day is exactly like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much on the present. That's true now, isn't it? This is a tough time to be a parent because of all the competing claims on our time, the energy, and money. The typical parent, mother, or father could be responding to all of the following claims simultaneously. The PTO needs a new treasurer, and you are nominated. One of the church leaders begs you to sign up for another year of Sunday school teacher. The president of the Kiwanis Club calls and begs you to be chairman of the fruitcake sale this year. They remind you of all the good things that money will help support. The Cub Scouts are desperate for another leader. Unless you sign up, the den will have to be discontinued. You just learned that a coming retirement will cause some reshuffling. A branch manager position will open up. And if someone will just take on the extra project and work the extra hours and give that extra, they might get that position. The president of United Way calls and begs you to coordinate the gifts from the major companies. He reminds you of the agencies depending on these funds and how important it is. Then as you face all those choices, you glance at that picture on your desk. The children, they're growing so fast. Your spouse, only half in jest, suggests that she has to make an appointment just to see you. Take heart, parents. There's help within the scriptures. Max Lucado, one of my favorite writers, to read some of his books, easy to read and very, very good. helped me discover four important words in Matthew 14. Jesus dismissed the crowds. I like that. Jesus dismissed the crowds. This wasn't just any crowd. It was about 10,000 people who had heard Jesus teach. They had seen him heal the sick and watch him produce enough food to feed each and every one of them with food left over. The crowd was ready to crown him king. Anything that he wanted, put an army behind him. They were ready to go. But Jesus dismissed them. And why did he do that? Verse 23 in Matthew says, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountain to pray by himself. He said no to a good opportunity to say yes to a better opportunity. It was a deliberate choice to honor his priorities. Jesus' first responsibility was not to satisfy a crowd, but to be faithful to his heavenly Father. On another occasion, Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek." And we don't like that word, meek. It suggests to us weakness or being wishy-washy. The men especially don't like that. But that's not necessarily what this word means. There's some different interpretations. But the Greek word for meek in the Bible may mean the same word used to describe a wild stallion that has been trained for the saddle. In that case, it means power under control, strength with direction. It means to be focused. So blessed are those who are focused, those who know their priorities and honor those priorities. Did you know there's approximately the same amount of gunpowder in a firecracker that there is in a bullet or a rifle shell? But the firecracker is unfocused. We're getting ready to hear them all over the place very soon. It makes a big noise and really accomplishes nothing. The rifle shell, on the other hand, focuses that power in a specific direction and delivers an enormous punch. You can be a firecracker Christian or you can be a rifle shot Christian. It's a matter of focus. St. Paul was highly focused in what he went about doing. He was a rifle shot Christian. He declared, "I press towards the mark for the high call of God in Christ Jesus." You can be a firecracker parent or a rifle shot parent. One makes a lot of noise, the other gets results. It's a matter of focus. On this Father's Day weekend, I want to suggest three truths that help us focus on healthy priorities in our family. First, a parent is a role model 24 hours a day. Not 12, not 18, not 22 and a half, but 24 hours a day. And that is a lot of responsibility. Parents communicate values by what they say, what they praise, what they condemn, what they ignore, and very powerfully by the way that they live their lives. Our children, and you know it, they listen to every word you say. You may not know it at the time, but they're listening. They watch every deed, every action that you do. They watch it, and they draw their own conclusions. Mary Jane picked up her 5-year-old son from kindergarten and was hastening on her errands. She had so many to do. She was in a big hurry and, of course, driving too fast. Then she saw the policeman's blue light in the rearview mirror. We've all seen that, and that little feeling that we get. Well, she pulled over and asked to see her license, you know, standing there at the window. And there was a long silence as she searched through her pocketbook looking for the license and information. All of a sudden, her son's little voice heard from the back seat, "Mama, he doesn't look like a turkey to me." ticket or no ticket. I'm getting it. Our children hear everything we say. We're role models for them constantly. If you utter slurs, they pick up on it. If you're watching television at night and you're watching the news, oh, there's another 7-Eleven knocked over. Oh, there's another carjacking. It's those darn Southerners. What are we going to do about them? We need to take all the people from the South, get them out of Pennsylvania, ship them out south of the Mason-Dixon line, and everything would be good. Especially those Carolina ones. They're the worst. But they pick up on it. They hear you. If your child hears you use God's name carelessly or profanely in vain, the child will draw conclusions both about God and about your relationship with God, how you value God and how you see God, how you feel about God. Now, none of us are perfect. You're not going to be perfect 24 hours of the day. You may be sleeping and they come in and you mutter something in your sleep you shouldn't. You know, who knows? We sometimes show our worst sides before our children. And how important it is at such times to acknowledge our failings and to ask forgiveness and let our children know that we're not perfect human beings. A second truth for a parent is nothing can substitute for your presence. Now, I'm not talking about presence that you give as a gift, but your presence, you there in person with them. Many parents rationalize by saying, and I've heard it said, you have, I don't spend much time with my kids, but what I do is high quality time. A first grader asked his mother why his dad brought his briefcase home each evening full of materials and papers and all that stuff, and she explained that he had so much work to do that he just couldn't get it done at the office during the day. And he's first grader. The youngster pondered this very soberly, and after a little while, he said, well, why don't they just put him in a slower group? Parents, remember this. If you can't say no to some of the claims on your life will drip away like a leaky faucet. You won't make much of a splash anywhere. You've got to have your priorities. A man was in a meeting one afternoon when a man in the group raised his hand and said, Mr. Chairman, I know what we're talking about is important, but I must leave at 5:00 sharp. My son's vacation Bible school starts at 6, and I promised him I would take him and be there with him. Everybody around the table just beamed with admiration. Here was a man who could say no to something that was important, to something that he deemed even more important. The third truth about parenting is that no one can lead a child to a relationship with God through Jesus Christ better than a parent. No one. Not a minister, not a Sunday school teacher, not a friend. A parent. If the parents fail, the chances become smaller as time goes by that a church or a grandparent or a friend or anyone else can make up that deficit. Doesn't mean it's impossible, it just makes it harder. Children are so bright. If they sense that the Bible is not vitally important in your life, chances are that it won't be much in their lives. If they seldom see you pray, except maybe a perfunctionary prayer at a meal, what are they going to think about prayer? If a child senses that Sunday worship is a grim duty rather than a treasured privilege, chances are they'll stop attending as soon as they have the opportunity to make up their own minds. Mother took her poodle dog to obedience class each week without fail, every week, and paid considerable money for it. Those lessons aren't cheap. But she failed to bring her own daughter to Sunday school or junior church or any of the activities out of church, even though it was free. And one day, God may ask her, Why did you care more about your dog's obedience than you did your daughter's relationship with me? The minister talks about his late father, whom he called Papa. He said, I recall some wonderful vacation experiences. However, we caused Papa considerable stress. When we stopped at a restaurant, really hammered away at his wallet and his budget. One Sunday morning, we were somewhere in Delaware, returning from a trip to New York. It was about 10:30, and Papa proposed that we stop at this Methodist church and attend worship service. Mama was horrified, not thrilled at all by the prospect because of the clothes that we were in. And it was a time when, you know, everybody put on their Sunday best to go to church. But Papa insisted. Ms. Peters, isn't it strange that 40 years later, I remember that day. I remember that day. Papa thought that Sunday without church was like Memphis without a river. Clovis Chapel used to tell a story about two paddleboat steamers. They left Memphis about the same time, traveling down the river to New Orleans. As they traveled side by side, the crew members started picking at one another's boats and challenged them to a race. Words were exchanged, challenges made. You know how men are. They had to take the challenge. The race began. The competition was keen as the boats roared down the Mississippi. The one boat began falling behind. Not enough fuel. There was plenty of coal for the trip, but not enough for the race. So the boat began to drop back. As enterprising crew member took some of the ship's cargo, and began to burn it for fuel into the ovens. Their boat began to catch up. They thought, this is a wonderful idea. So they got more of the cargo and more of the cargo and kept throwing it onto the fire. And finally they won the race, but in the process, they burned up most of the cargo. The very material that they had been hired to transport, they burned up to win a race. Parents, our primary mission is not to win a rat race, but to faithfully care for those persons entrusted to us, especially those precious, precious children. Blessed are the focused, those who know their priorities and honor them. Blessed are those parents who put God first and help their children find God through relationship with Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, not only for this life, but for eternal life to come. Blessed are those parents who seek to impart godly wisdom to their children, because it will last for all of eternity. May God bless you. Happy Father's Day. Amen.